I called the meeting to order. And you guys mixed up, just remember one's on the left. call on perfect landfill duties.
Well, you want to do the roll call? I'll go on to the roll call.
Dr. Philip Banks.
Present.
Dr. Barbara Burns.
Here.
Mr. Harris.
Here.
Mr. Brad Heaton.
Here.
Mr. Gil Johnson.
Here.
Mr. James Kennedy.
Here.
Mr. David Porter.
Here.
Mr. John Ridley.
Here.
Mr. Taylor.
Here.
Mr. Larry Zell.
Mr. Chairman, as we get started, I've got three things that I want to do and make an order and not an agenda, but I would like to call for a moment of silence and simultaneous to our meeting in Charleston, South Carolina. Our nation mourns the tragic act of racial terrorism which ended the lives of 9 community leaders in Charleston. And it's the responsibility of all Americans to seek the racial, cultural harmony and civility. So if we could have a moment of silence, please. Thank you. Now, I'm going to make a presentation. Mr. James Kennedy. Come on up, James. James completes 6 years, 2 terms as our staff regent. He's been a superb regent. He's been thoughtful. He's done his homework. He's been engaged. And you've represented not just the staff, but the entire university community with distinction. And it's been a pleasure working with you. And we look forward to those of us at the university working with you for many years with your duties in information technology. So well done, James, and thank you. Great job. Congratulations to Dr. Pamela Smith for her election as the new staff regent. She'll begin her duties in July. There you go. But congratulations as you begin your second term. She's also in IT as manager of audiovisual services. Is that correct? So congratulations, Pamela. Great job. We look forward to working with you once again. Well done. We have a few things that I just want to point out as we begin this being the beginning of a full board meeting as we look to approve the budget. A few things I want to point out as I typically do as we start a meeting. First of all, I want to compliment Nikki Taylor and her colleagues in student government, and also our board chair, David Porter, for their superb work at the Council on Post-Secondary Education meeting a few weeks ago in Hazard, Kentucky, and how they managed the passage of approval for the student fee for a parking structure. Our SGA leadership was absolutely superb and led to a unanimous vote from the Council on Post-Secondary Education to approve that exception to the tuition policy. Really good work on the part of our board leadership and our SGA leadership. You will learn more about this at our July board meeting, but incredible accolades to everybody involved in our entire sustainability contest at WKU for being one of 9 universities recognized by the Department of Education for a Green Ribbon School Award. Just great work. And first, we were the lead institution in the Commonwealth of Kentucky to go forward to compete with one institution from all the other states, and then to be picked to receive that Green Ribbon Award in Washington just a few weeks ago. It was a great honor. Congratulations to our School of Journalism and Broadcasting for their second place overall finish in the first competition for this year. The first place finishes in photojournalism and multimedia. Just last week, And they were a little bummed out about finishing 17th in the nation, but our civil engineering concrete canoe team did finish 17th in the nation among all engineering programs, hundreds of them that compete in that annual competition. This one was held at Clemson University in South Carolina. But finishing the top 20, that's a pretty serious competition of presentation and competition among civil engineers. So well done to our civil engineers. As we engage the summer session, received a report from the provost just a few days ago about the significant uptick in students seeking support from our writing center. That's a good sign that our students are seeking out tutoring when it comes to expressing themselves into the written word. In fact, so much that Jane Fife, our Writing Center Director, is seeking additional help from across from faculty across campus to keep up with the demand. It's a good sign. In front of you, you have a letter from Secretary John Kerry complimenting WKU as being one of the top producers of Fulbrights. So that's a pretty cool distinction when the Secretary of State writes to us to say, well done, WKU, on your production of Fulbrights across American higher education. And I thought you might like to have a copy of that letter from Secretary Kerry. And finally, you have at your place setting a sheet that Julia has prepared of dates going forward, actually through December. So these are things to put on your calendar and to mark those that board meetings, community meetings, but also other events that may be to you throughout the fall business. But I think anticipating as many of those as possible. So that's my report.
I'm a doctor, Joel Bale.
All right.
For the Academic Affairs Committee.
The Affairs Committee has a very brief agenda.
We're on the budget.
We're ready for a board meeting to approve the budget.
Okay, that's that.
Let's go with that one first. The this right here is back to call the budget meeting. There you go. That's the Finance and Budget Committee.
Good. Here's an extra.
There you go. So this is a full board meeting to address the budget. Remember, the committee meetings can be adjourned to the full board meeting. It's a special budget approval meeting. Cool. Correct that and go to the other fan seat and ask
pretty much. I'll call on Ann Mead to set the tone for our approval.
We had extensive discussions at a special call finance and budget committee, so therefore today, contrary to most budget approvals, we don't have a final point for you. All I can do is show off that we had another budget with a beautiful cover that we're very proud of. The artistic art and photography that's done by the Office of Public Affairs. However, it's a continuation of the budget, and the cover is a little bit nicer than the inside. But you're quite familiar with the circumstances of a modest tuition increase and a flat state appropriations. So what we bring for you today to get a motion on the table for approval will be a budget of $396,565,000, which is a 1.1% increase.
That's an introduction. As we go through the call, I think most everyone here will have a special call meeting. Very good discussion, a lot of participation. So I look for FB1. May I have a motion?
Motion.
So moved. And second. So now the motion is on the floor. Is there discussion? Yes, ma'am.
This is really just a quick comment. President Ransdale, coming on the heels of the comment about the uptick in the summer program in Ryan. And one of the things I noticed in the budget was, and I just wondered about, is whether or not we have cut student support. I'm concerned about, if we're looking for students to be retained and graduated, it wouldn't be the greatest time to do that. With so many international students in the summer, for example, when they're going to the center, we're turning on volunteers. And I was particularly looking at the budget for the Learning Center. So this isn't a question about whether or not we have cut the student support. And I guess I'm very under
normally, especially when you said the Learning Center, maybe you want to comment on what we're doing on reorganization
Yes, Jeremy spoke to this as well. The academic advising for attendance centers is at a reorganization this past year.
Brian, excuse me, would you mind?
Sure. The ARC has had a lot of reorganization this past year where more efficiencies were created than us reorganizing the unit, making sure that we would need the students at operative hours and the evenings and the weekends and such. And there's a whole litany of programs that the best expectations program with the Writing Center, the tutorial, peer tutoring, all that's still in place with ARC.
You'll remember that part of this year's budget, one of the difficult challenges we had to address in this budget this past year when enrollment management moved from academic affairs to report directly to me, and it began to address our frequent enrollment, retention, and graduation dynamics. For lots of reasons, financial and pragmatic. One of the things that was inherited in that transition and in this budget was the fact that academic affairs had been using carry forward one time money to fund a significant portion of enrollment management, some $500,000 a year, and that had to be built into the base this year that made this budget even more of a challenge. And so while it wasn't a boost in spending for enrollment management, which includes the advisory center, it was a challenge to build it into a base recurring funding dynamic that compounded our challenge. And we just had to get that funding dynamic off the one-time funds and into a base budget, because my office doesn't have one-time funds to folks like that, whereas academic affairs may have. So that there may be some reduced spending across our advisory center. By and large, we were able to sustain most of the base budget. And I would also add that that's a really difficult dynamic when you're dealing with a $3.8 million increase in scholarship support, $2.4 million shortfall in revenue from enrollment. Trying to protect academic affairs as much as possible in that 70% of the budget, administrative and student service operations did take a larger hit, proportionately. And it's difficult because when we try to focus on trying to preserve academic priorities as much as possible, you begin to understand when some of the administrative operations and student service functions take a hit, it affects academic strength. So that's a great example of the real challenge we had with this particular budget.
I guess my question, I'm just trying to, I know everybody's concerned about this, and I'm concerned about student retention. I was just puzzled because when I looked in enrollment graduation offices, I saw what looked like a $50,000 unrestricted budget. Is there another budget entry in here, and I might have just missed it? Because, we've got several things. We have a $10,000 Writing Center support, which is really pretty incredibly modest. Mm-hmm. To put all this energy into getting students. And I was just concerned whether somehow in all the efforts to rebalance and reallocate,
with such small support there. And I'm just wondering, where's the budget line for that student center if it is, in fact, more than $50,000? The only other places I saw $1,000 center for literacy and the learning center and athletic student success, but I just want to know if it's budgeted somewhere. I couldn't find it.
We reshuffled all the budgetary allocations there, and even with the creating efficiencies to support what the arts and that team needed. And you know, there was a lot of that had not been looked at in many years in AARC. And also, one of the areas where we reshuffled our money was specifically the retention in my office. Not choose to continue with that, and those monies around are also supporting support services. Art and Russ are doing the lifting services and have not said or stated or come forward that they're underfunded or poorly funded or lack of.
I know that. I'm just asking, is the learning center?
There is a specific line item budget which you found. $50,000. Dr. Meredith, are there other budgets that actually supplement the learning center but are not funded specifically for the learning center? That's that $50,000 is what she's asking about.
Please.
There is another line item. When we made the change in the assistant vice president for retention services, we took that saving, and it's housed in the division in enrollment management. And we've taken the remaining salary for that budget, and we are going to fund retention initiatives out of that line item. We were trying to be as efficient as we could with that. The other thing we've done is there were some reallocation in Arkansas. There was one position. We looked at the programming that we were providing and figured out that with that assessment, we could do it more efficiently. We could use additional graduate assistants and other programs and bring them in and do more applied programming. Instead of them hearing us talk about management, we sit down and work with them. How do you figure out how to manage and plan for students? What are your difficulties? How do you address those? And increase our touch in a smaller group than the very well attended academic advantage series. We had hundreds of students attend those. But after Dr. Curley looked at it and did some research, we figured out that bringing the students in from smaller groups with more targeted intervention would be a better use of our funding.
Thank you very much. That's a very good explanation.
I guess what I'm hearing you say is it's there, it's funded, it's in the enrollment management line. Thank you very much. More questions? Yes, I do have one. Sure. And I have mentioned this to Provost Hensley earlier, and he was very gracious in his response, but I think it would really be helpful in understanding the budget, because such a big chunk is in academic affairs, and only two-thirds of it being non-recurring dollars. That is a big, big chunk, and ultimately how it's implemented is two-thirds of the academic share is in your non-recurring. Two-thirds of the dollars, the $5.5 million coming from academics, is non-recurring money within the
budget. Excuse me,
I wonder, Dr. Hensley, if you might help add a little clarification there. I know it would not be surprising to any of you to know that there's a lot of concern and discussion about this, and even some feeling among faculty that perhaps we're going to come in here with virtually no dollars for any kind of travel support and discretionary PD, and in particular things like DO distributions. And I'm just wondering if you could add a little clarification to it that would help better understand that in the budget.
Happy to. The numbers you recall was the $5.5 million.
And the first thing we did, we actually made that number a little larger by funding faculty promotions, all faculty going from assistant to associate professor or associate professor to professor, increase of approximately 10%. That made the total budget challenge close to $5.9 million for the division. We contributed 2.016, interesting number, for the fiscal year, in identified budget cuts that are already being identified in the prior year, reducing that 5.9 million to 3.9 that you see in the budget. What we've done with that 3.9 is I've agreed to absorb about 700K of that, what I call a central level. Then things like eliminate cell phone allowances within the division, we'll be looking at staffing plan, which is a central entity. But 700,000 of that will be taken care of essentially within my office, leaving 3.2 million to be distributed according to the college's priorities. 1.6 in recurring cuts and another 1.6 in one-time funds. So if this goes according to plan, what we'll see next year is that number reduced to 3.9 million to about 1.6. And we'll address that in the coming year. Deans and directors have been working very hard over the last month or so to identify the appropriate things to put in those units. I will be sending an email to faculty all later this afternoon, I hope, emphasizing two or three salient points. One, the total number of people who are zero existing faculty positions are at risk. No one is currently employed that's affected by this. There will be some vacant lines that will not go filled. That's approximately a dozen or so, as I can tell looking at the plans so far. The dean's out until the end of June to submit the plans, so it's maybe a little light in detail. Although we are going to lose the number of faculty lines, our number of faculty is still significantly up compared to what it was 4 or 5 years ago, and our student-faculty ratio is still at 17 to 1. We have more tenure-eligible faculty per FTE student than we've ever had. So that's somewhere where the dean's thought we go. In terms of non-recurring funds, most of that will be covered from carry-forward. Occasionally, there's some lapsed salaries, folks who are on leave for a year, folks who have bought out their salary for a year from other schools and so on. But with particular reference to dealer distribution, we're very, very, very cognizant that is a reward for faculty contributing to the dealer mission. And we are going to distribute in the dealer distribution next year an amount more or less exactly equal to what we did last year. Both in terms of the academic year dealer distributions of 2.5 million or so to colleges, and also there'll be a distribution from earnings made from the summer. You heard Dr. Anto mention the summer session will be very successful, and we're going to have a distribution to departments coming up very shortly, is very similar to what the distribution was last year. So in terms of that continuing reward, we fully intend to continue that.
There's a perception that DLO funds are not going to be available this year, but that is not accurate. Is that what you're saying?
That is untrue, I would say.
Thank you. I just wanted to I think we're going to have to
Dr. Birch, I have a question. How can we bridge this gap that I still hear from time to time about what Dr. Ransom said? There seems to be a perception that it's one way when in fact it's different. How do we bridge that gap? Can you comment on that? Because it seems like it's a reoccurring issue.
I'm delighted to, Mr. William. And as you know, I'm in an interesting situation having moved from administration to faculty in recent years.
That's the reason I'm asking.
I'm happy you asked. When you are in any organization, it's understandable. Not everybody can be sitting at the table and know everything. That's just the way of life. And a lot of it comes from transparency. Transparency is interpreted different ways by different people. And I know it's very difficult to be as transparent as you would like to be sometimes. But I know when you're talking with the president, I think he's sensitive to this and has some plans early in the year to spend some time with the Senate in a different sort of way. I think that's going to be very helpful. But one of the things that generates perceptions that become very damaging and can generate the kind of conversation you just said is not knowing. There's really nothing worse than not knowing. And I think for faculty, it's a cumulative thing. For example, we're into the, third or fourth year in of circle, sort of at the end of the year, what we're spending. And faculty don't understand, understandably, things that we don't. So why are we there?
Why do all things been overspending? We're not overspending. We're just having to reduce our spending because of $15 million in state budget cuts.
Well, I don't want to get into that discussion, but actually, Dr. Ramsdale, everybody understands the state gives us less money. Everyone understands our enrollment has dropped. But I think in a lot of the discussions that people ask me is, if our enrollment's dropping and if the state funding is declining, what is it that we should have or could be doing that didn't bring us, for example, to this big of a reduction in 1 year? And I think there are so many incredible things happening in this university. But sometimes what you see is where it appears our resources are going. What you resource, there's a theory that says what you resource is successful. And for a lot of faculty and staff, I believe, the perception is driven comes because you don't have any answers to why some of our priorities are what they are. People ask questions, for example, and I will tell you a perception that's there, and I this is always there, but particularly now. The perception is, not fact theory necessarily, the perception, that we have priorities and things that we need to do. And if there's any money left, then we will look at people. Now, I know for a fact, because I've heard the president say so, and provost, that one of the highest priorities is to reward and recognize faculty. But if you look at the fact over 5 years that our ability to do that is an average of about 1% in, it's hard. When you see that we're building beautiful buildings, have wonderful programs. That's great.
Let me just pause this a second. I was trying to get to how we could get more of a dialogue started.
I hear you
saying transparency is an issue.
Transparency is important.
Let me throw one thing out for consideration to take away perception versus truth and reality. Sometimes it is very important for us to have trust and confidence in the department heads, deans, and administration, that they are doing the very best that they can. And the perception that we just question every time, your comment about buildings, that's funded completely different than another area. Private support, that supports some gifting at the university. So what I'm saying is there a way that we can bridge the gap of the perception, and not everyone has to have transparency? When I turn that light switch on, I expect the lights to come on. And the confidence I have is in the physical plan to make that happen. I don't have to know exactly or whether we're being efficient in the electrical usage. So I'm thinking the trust and confidence of some of these folks, if that could be elevated just a touch.
Trust is at the bottom of all of it. And sometimes a lack of information and a lack of transparency, even though you try. And sometimes when things don't add up.
So you're saying then it's a lack of information?
More information and more opportunity for our voices to be heard.
Here's what I would like
the decision.
For the future on these discussions, if you don't mind, just like the detailed question you asked, Dr. Blank, if you could bring that in a preset question so that we can get the information, because just general, large, we're talking about $50,000 on a budget that is almost $400 million. So that's a very difficult thing, because that sets a perception that's different than what is reality.
Mr. Ridley, I'm going to be very obliging today. I think part of what makes it possible to be a good board member And due diligence is understanding what's in the budget.
Yes, ma'am.
There is a lot in this budget.
I agree.
A lot. And quite honestly, and I can understand it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I have 2 pages of questions, and you can be happy I'm not going to ask them. And Dr. Angela will tell you that I drive him crazy by asking specific questions. And he is very nice. He always writes back very kindly. He gives you the information. But I think under his breath he mumbles, dear God, let's forget. He does. And not only that, he lets me ask other people. I really ask more questions.
So that's what I'm trying to get to, is that I want
I do,
that to
but
be
I
a...
I still don't have all my answers. I'm going to make today... Your perception is important.
Yes.
I really do think the administration understands it. And I think maybe the thing that can come to us out of what is, in my opinion, a really... kind of horrible experience this year being this far under. Nobody would wish for that. But maybe what it will also provide is an opportunity for building more trust by finding ways to be more transparent and more participation in or understanding of some priorities. I'm not suggesting those are things are wrong or that there's any reason not to trust. But when you do not know, it is very hard. And
let me suggest that Kate Lutheball is here, who will be the chair of the University Senate this year. Kate and I have already begun a dialogue, and at Kate's invitation, both Ann and I are going to be much more engaged with the University Senate this year. We are going to put the budget information together and have appropriate dialogue. It's been over a year since I've been invited to a University Senate meeting. So I look forward to that opportunity and having that dialogue and trying to facilitate that communication. So both Ann and I will be much more engaged in that regard to try to reach a better sense of the dynamics that drive our financial variables, which of course drive our campus, esprit de corps, cohesion, teamwork, etc. So, all good points, and Kate, thank you for our opportunity to talk, and we'll do a lot more of it going forward.
I'd like to put an observation, if I could.
Yeah.
I think that... This is a good example of, if you look at what a board is for here in a higher education setting, certainly we have a fiduciary responsibility that is significant, and yet our other major responsibility is for academic quality. And so, you know, when we're presented with a budget like this, you have a natural conundrum of sorts that we do need to discuss, and I think discuss it in light of our mission, student learning, and trying to add transparency to all that, which people across the country are trying to figure out how to do, particularly when it comes to student assessment. But I think as a board, we would do ourselves and hopefully the university a service if we could have some more discussions along those lines, because I know Barbara's concern is student learning, and I think that's the faculty's primary concern, and they know more about it than the rest of us do. So going forward, we need to continue with some civil discourse. And yes, transparent is such a hackneyed term. I hate to use it anymore, but that it does call for that. And you know, I think in the sense of trying to assess our successes, and like Barbara said, I mean, there's some amazing things that are going on with Fulbright Scholars, and we have a lot of examples of how this university functions at a high level. I think the fact that we're on the verge of accreditation again and have had a stellar process through that, it presents us with a great opportunity to focus on how do we do better, even though we've done great. So those are just some observations.
Mr. Ridley, if I could make one final comment on the budget. I've said that I think that of my 20, I now have 21 years at WKU,
And I started as Director of Institutional Research. And one of the first things we discussed is we have volumes of data and not enough information. And that's always the challenge with transparency, because I'm always willing to meet with groups that still can't quite bridge how to get a complex budget with volumes of numbers into something that is meaningful. So one of the things that we did, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, is we created the budget narrative, which each division, rather than focusing on the dollars, each division is required on an annual basis to say, what do you expect to do with these resources? So when you use the word transparency, I also use the word accountability. And we try to achieve that through the budget narrative to say to each division head, you have to say how you're going to use these resources effectively and what you want to accomplish in the next 12 months. So it is a challenge, but again, I think part of it is that we want, whether it's the university center or the staff council, we want to know that we're invited, will come. You know, we're not going to appoint ourselves as regular attendees, but if you want to know more, we'll do our best to bridge that transparency.
In our special call meeting, we discussed this a few weeks ago. It was an effort to try to continue that education board, the faculty staff, and also the students ensure that we're trying to do the best we can to get all of that leverage.
It's probably a good time to just remind the board that our summer retreat, late July, we're really going to zero in on four things. Thursday, first day session, Dr. Del Whalen from the Southern Association of College and Schools Commission on Colleges, that's now called SAC COC, will be making a presentation on board governance and proper roles and accreditation. And then we will spend the rest of the morning on enrollment management with a thorough discussion of our strategies to address our enrollment challenges from traditional students, international students, and adult learners. A three-pronged recruitment, admissions, retention focus. And then after lunch, we will focus on our action plan, assessment of our action plan, and any updating that needs to be done there. And then finally, we're going to get a thorough categorical discussion on the whole matter of compensation and the challenges and options and strategies in that regard. So those four topics are most timely and pertinent to what our overall institutional dynamics are right now.
More specific questions about the budget that is before you and the motion that is on the floor?
I'm going to give it to you.
Let's pass it down this way.
It's going to be the bananas all day. If I hear no other comments, can I call up the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Like sign. Motion passes. Thank you.
You have that?
No.
You don't have that? You have to make sure that Kate gets the budget booklet for distribution. Consent. And
I'm sorry, but
you're going to make sure that people all get to this place.
Yeah.
We'll make whatever copies you have to send.
The budget should be posted online that board this afternoon. We were just waiting for the charge.
Passing you around.
Yes. Director of Education, page 9.
nominating committee report. The nominating committee is recommended nomination of Fred Pigeon, chair, Melissa Benson, vice chair, Cynthia Harris, secretary, and the nominating committee and Dr. Ransell want to recommend that Andy be appointed treasurer for the upcoming fiscal year. And that's a separate, I'll entertain a motion for approval of the recommendation of election of the officers.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries unanimously. And I'll direct your attention to the other business items on this meeting. I'm just going to approve of Dr. Ransell's first review and schedule for upcoming committee meetings, convocation in August, and quarterly meetings. If there's no other business to undertake, which doesn't appear to be, I'll move to return the meeting. From a motion, second.
Second.
All in favor,
aye.
Aye. Opposed?